So are you ready for a change? Renewal? Change? The dream of a fresh start? I always like that. And we go to bed at night, and by faith, we put our heads on the pillow, and we wake up in the morning, and guess what? We got a fresh start. Nobody's messed with it yet. Well, maybe a wife or a husband, but anyhow. Perhaps we do then dream of a more stress-free, burden-free life, a happier life, a healthier life, or a less lonely or a less impedient life filled with all the challenges that we have. We maybe don't want all that stuff. But how many of us wish for that coming year that we may be able to look at a fresh start and do some things? And how many of you wish that that would happen maybe like today or tomorrow? I would.
I sure would.
Amen. So December, here we are in December. And December traditionally is probably the most stressful, difficult, financially burdensome, grief-ridden months of the entire year. Never mind that Advent's supposed to be a time of peace and prayer and patient waiting. Did you ever try to go and shop on Good Friday? Maybe Good Friday too. Black Friday? How many of you are out messing around on Black Friday? Huh? I don't do it, but I have a wife and some other people that they used to get together, and they would get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and they go here and there. And anyhow, it's stressful. Our cleaning lady was with us this past week, and I was out in my little man cave on the other end of the property, and I come over to see what was going on, and she was there in the Judy's bathroom on her hands and knees scrubbing the tile, you know, the grout. And she just looked, you know, I said, "Rachel, you okay?" "Well, this is a bad time of the year for me." I said, "What do you mean bad time of the year for you?" "Well, it's Christmas, and I don't have any money, and I don't know what I'm going to get the kids." It just proves that people are stressed out over something they shouldn't be stressed out over. I digress. In many cases, December seems to make a lot of people more ornery, less tolerant, more in a rush, more anxious than all the other months combined. You ever notice that? Why? I always like the why. I like the buts and the ifs, but I also like the why. Why is the most important thing? Because people are financially strapped like Rachel and feeling the anxiety and expectation upon them to serve up Christmas cheer, gifts, and all the trappings of a sufficient commercialized Christmas experience. People feel time crunch with shopping and preparation and just too many responsibilities while keeping up the ones that they had all year long. You know, did you ever notice that every day in our life is stressful and things that happen and everything? And then you add the Christmas season into it, it makes the situation worse. People are stressed out. They feel pulled in a lot of different directions, and they grieve those that they lost. Donnie lost Patsy this past year. And it's hard this time of year. It's supposed to be a happy time of year, but not for everybody. Because things happen and we grieve the loss. More people suffer from depression and anxiety at the holidays than any other time. I'm a wordsmith, and I know enough to be dangerous, but I often wondered why we changed Holy Day to holiday. You know, it is a holy day, Christmas, not a holiday. But the world took over, and they changed the Y to an I, and now we have holidays. Anyhow, I digress again. A fresh start, relief, renewal, something to take away the pain. Yeah, that's what we want. And I like that one commercial that says, "Oh, yes, please, give me some more." Well, at first glance, that message to the disciples in Mark 13, Jesus was looking at a very dark and indeed, pun intended, time. But like the visionary of the Revelation and the apocalyptic prophets, Jesus means to offer hope for a new beginning, a new dawn when things will change and God's reign will come. Be ready, he says. Keep awake. Alert, he warns. Something big is going to happen and things are going to change. Jesus is nearing the end of his ministry. He knows what is to come. But he also wants to relay the message that despite the darkness ahead, and Isaiah talked about that, the light is coming into the world with power and glory and will prevail to the end. That's why I always like sometimes you get a good book and you want to go to the end to see what it's about before you read the rest of it. Well, go to the end of this book and you'll see we win. So you think Christmas might be hard. December stressful. Yeah, I think so. Just imagine what Jesus is about to go through as he sees ahead to the darkest days for him and all who follow him. We as Christ followers know a little bit about that. If you remember when Jesus was preparing in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was under so much stress. Father, if your will, take this cup from me. He sweated drops of blood. He was under so much stress. Medical science has proved that now. When somebody gets under a lot of stress and you see their face get red, when people get under a lot of stress, the blood comes to the surface and it happened. Jesus' message is one of encouragement for his beloved disciples and us today, modern day disciples. Jesus knows that those disciples in his day are going to be under enormous stress, that they will undergo persecution and difficulty. Guess what? Did you know that Christians are being persecuted today, not only around the world, but in this country? Think about it. But after all that suffering, God will win. God will effect supernatural, overwhelming change within the world. And all who stay the course in faith and loyalty to God will prevail along with him. So just as Jesus recently told the story, last week I think we talked about it, maybe the week before, the story of the bridesmaids where they need to keep their lamps filled with oil, because they don't know the hour that the bridegroom will come. Well, in Mark's gospel, Jesus delivered a similar message, but without the parabolic intervention. His comforting warning is the same. Don't despair. Don't give up. Don't lose faith. Know that a time is coming when God's plan will come to fruition, and Jesus will return in his glory of God's divine power and will bring light to the world and final victory. What a relief! Hallelujah! Praise be to God. That we must have been to the disciples when they only saw darkness and worry ahead. It must have been a relief. What would happen when Jesus had to leave them? It was hard. It was heart-wrenching. Lord, where are you going to go? I don't know where you're going to go, but I want to be there. Well, even though they still resisted believing that he would have to die, that was something they just couldn't wrap their heads around. Still, they could sense his foreboding, the friction all around them, growing in their communities and their culture, the division among friends and family members, the discrepancy of power between those of status and those who were rejected by the power hungry at the time. Boy, now, times have changed, but human nature hasn't changed. What about the power hungry in our own country lately? Anyhow, the passion of Jesus and his opposers grew daily. They knew that Jesus was making people angry and that the authorities were nearly to the tipping point with what they would endure going forward. Some already had plotted his demise and were trying to kill him even before he got killed by any means they could conjure up. Something was about to break, and it wouldn't be good. Jesus is advising his disciples to be on the watch for what would happen after that. To be alert. To allow themselves to become complacent would be a tragedy. They have to continue to watch their backs. But even more importantly, they have to keep watch for what God is going to do next. God had a plan. And that plan would be bigger and better than anything the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, or the priests could ever dream of. Things may look askew, but God was still in charge. We make light of it sometimes. We'll say, yeah, all this, but God's still on the throne. And he is. That's a comforting message. God is still in charge. So this season, this holiday season, when things start to look dark and bleak, and you feel overwhelmed, and when anxiety kicks in, and the bills seem to be all-consuming, when the loss of loved ones make Christmas feel like the blackest day of the year, when loss of relationships or too much stress seems to overtake any good feelings that we come with holiday cheer and gathering, have faith. God's still in charge. We have hope. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Fanny Crosby was blind. And she penned that because she had the hope of Jesus in her heart. Even though she couldn't see physically, she could see spiritually. So God the Master, the King of Kings, the King of the Universe, the Prince of Light and Fresh Starts is still in charge of my life and your life. And my message to all of us is to keep the faith. What's it say in Psalm 31, verse 5? Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. A fresh start. I love it. So the truth of life is that everything always changes. I flipped on the weather channel the other day, and they were talking about the weather is changing, and the weather is always changing. And I'm thinking, well, what kind of truth is that? Yeah. Not climate change, weather change. You know what I mean? Now it's not raining. Yesterday we had 4.5 inches of rain in the house. Things are always changing. And the only time that change does not happen in life is in the coldness of death. Think about that. The only time that change does not happen in life is in the coldness of death. And even then, Jesus offers us life beyond that. Hope, renewal, a fresh start. But Jesus' promise is not limited to death, but to all that feel like death. Darkness and depression and anger and hopelessness and grief, sadness, disillusionment, loss in life is all this. But what happens, as I like to paraphrase what the Apostle Paul said, if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the promise coming again, we have hope. We have hope. And Jesus offers us renewal and a fresh start. So, this holy day season, or holiday season, whichever you prefer to use, needs to start with faith. That's what Advent's all about. Faith. Faith that with the birth of a tiny baby, God appeared one beautiful day long ago in human form and proceeded to change the world as he had made it. God created the heavens and the earth. And Jesus is God. God made it. And he made it to teach us about God's love for us, God's promises of life, and lead us into a place in which we could experience true joy, peace, love, and assurance. So today as we contemplate the starting of Advent with the lighting of the wreath and the remembering of all the things and tradition of this particular time of the year, the start of Advent, and as we forge out into the perils of our December culture, Just remember your faith. Your faith will remind you each and every day that God's still in charge of your life and my life. And God will make change in your life only if you let Him.